Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. You may be seated. When we go to the cemetery and we visit a loved one, bringing flowers or some kind of memento, when we get there, we usually expect things to be about the same when we last were there at the gravesite. We expect to see that there is going to be no movement, that the person is still dead. That's the sad reality that we experience in our world. That's what the disciples were experiencing, the women specifically. And these women were pretty sad. They had a connection with Jesus. They had a relationship with Jesus. Mark 16 tells us about these women. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Now, these women weren't bringing flowers, they weren't bringing a memento, but they were bringing spices to honor the Lord, and they were expecting that Jesus was still going to be there. They were not expecting the tomb to be empty. You can imagine the surprise and the shock that the women had experienced over the past couple days. It had been a rough time, to say the least. And these women cared about Jesus. They loved Jesus. Maybe you recognize some of those names. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and a woman named Salome. Now, from what we gather in the scriptures, these were some of the women who were there with the disciples as Jesus would make some of his travels. We hear about Jesus with his disciples, and these women helped out along the way. And I'm sure it was much appreciated by Jesus and the disciples. I have to tease my sister a little bit. And I'm a bachelor, as most of you know. And my sister has jumped into my world for a moment as she's visiting. And my sister came and brought me some food to put into my fridge. Food that was the color green. And I do eat some vegetables, but she thought I should get some more vegetables. So she's been very helpful. And as you know, having someone in your life who knows how to cook or shop properly is a real blessing. And so I imagine that the women were a real blessing to Jesus and the disciples as they went along their way. And now these women have watched their Lord, their Savior, someone who they have gotten to know, and they watched him die. And it wasn't just a peaceful death, a natural death, but rather a shocking death, as their Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross and pierced for them. And you can imagine it was a shocking time. And so they come to the tomb to pay their respects, not expecting that Jesus is going to not be there. But as we know, Jesus wasn't there. Just as we talked about with those empty Easter eggs, right? Jesus was not there in the grave. Mark 16 tells us this in verse 4, "And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And they said to him, and he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" There was this heavy stone that was rolled in front of the tomb, and very likely there would have been a groove in front of the tomb, so that when the stone was placed over the entrance, it was stuck there. It wasn't going anywhere, and they were wondering how they were going to move this heavy barrier between them and Jesus. But when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. So they go into the tomb, and this must have been a bit freaky for them. And you can imagine this picture. The tomb would have been large enough for people to potentially have ducked down into, with a chamber for the body to be laid with a shelf, and then possibly some other spots for other family members after they had been buried previously. So they step inside the tomb, and they find a young man. And we know this young man to be an angel. And this angel has this message. "He's not here, he's risen." I find it interesting that there's an angel at the resurrection of Jesus giving the good news. Notice then how we see the stories of Christmas and Easter being connected. Because we find an angel who announces to those shepherds on the hills that there is a Savior to be born to them. And now an angel is there at the empty tomb announcing the good news that Jesus is not here. He's risen. And how wonderful that must have been. Although they were probably a little bit shocked because they were not expecting that he would be raised from the dead. So he has this wonderful message. He says, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here." But you see, this message that was given to the women was a message also for a group of very scared disciples and a very scared and distraught Peter. The angel said in Mark 16:7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Did you notice something there? The angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Isn't it interesting that Peter got singled out there? Is it any wonder? Peter, the one who had made those bold claims about following Jesus to wherever, and then Peter who flatly denied his Lord three times. Peter who realized what he had done, and it says that he went out and wept bitterly. Those of you that have been going to the Lenten midweek services, remember the series called Jesus, Peter, and Me. And we went through certain part of Peter's life looking at different ways in which Peter had failed to be the disciple, had failed to be a faithful follower, had been complacent, had denied his Lord, had sinned in thought, word, and deed. And yet today, the angel announces the good news to the disciples and Peter specifically, that Jesus is risen. I think this is an amazing thing, a special message, a personal message for Peter. And that's the beauty of the gospel, the good news for you and for me as it is announced personally to you. The message that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and has risen for your sins, that message is for you. It's for you. You see, Peter and the disciples proclaim this message of resurrection to everyone. In Acts chapter 10, the first reading for this morning, we hear Peter confessing this. He says, "We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Everyone, which includes you and me. And that's the beauty of the gospel, that the message of the risen Savior isn't just for the women there who were at the tomb. The message isn't just for the disciples. The message isn't just for Peter, but the message is for you and for me. And because the tomb is empty, we have new life in Jesus Christ. We have new life. Can you imagine if Easter was just about eggs and bunnies? There wouldn't be much to celebrate. Now, I grew up with some neat Easter traditions. We got our Easter basket in the morning, and we would get a nice outfit. Sometimes my mom, who's a good seamstress, would make a new shirt for me and dresses for my sisters. And we had some Easter traditions of looking for eggs after the Easter services, and we went to our services. But those were nice traditions. But apart from the empty tomb, apart from the message that the angel gives to the disciples and gives to you and me, Easter is meaningless. We have no hope. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, you are still dead in your sins and trespasses. You would still be damned if it wasn't for Jesus who died for you and rose for you. It says in Romans chapter 4, 25, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Jesus' words on the cross "It is finished" means something because he is risen. Any guy can die. It's pretty easy to die. In fact, we try to maintain ourselves and not die. It's easy to die. Jesus could have been some random guy on a random cross dying and saying words. But you see, the resurrection shows that Jesus isn't some random guy on a cross, but rather he is the very Son of God, true God and true man, who died on the cross for you. And his words, "It is finished, it is accomplished," mean something. You are no longer dead in your sins and trespasses, but the sacrifice that Jesus made is good, and he is risen for your salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." The beauty of the resurrection, the good news that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has risen, means that you and I are connected with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Romans 6 speaks of this, that you have been buried and raised with Christ in baptism. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I love our Easter banner over on the right. The butterfly, a wonderful symbol of new life. That in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Think of the butterfly. New life, new hope in Jesus Christ. Which means that as you start out your day, you have a new start. As you wake up in the morning, you have a new start with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has forgiven you. Our lives also have meaning and purpose because of the resurrection. We can go through our lives and we can collect degrees, we can collect money, we can collect all kinds of life experiences, but apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what meaning would those things have? And sometimes we're just trying to get through life surviving, trying not to die, right? What meaning would that have, even trying to survive until that moment when you and I finally fizzle out and we die? Then what? If there is no resurrection, then there's no more hope for you and for me. But Jesus has been raised, which means that our life has meaning now and meaning also for eternity. Colossians chapter 3, our epistle lesson for today, says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now in Christ Jesus, God, working through you, uses you to have an eternal impact. Those relationships that you have with other people, those opportunities that you have to share the love and share the message of Jesus, have an eternal impact. And that gives meaning to your life. It gives meaning to my life. So we have new life in Christ. We have new meaning. But this also means that we can live a life without fear of the future or fear of the grave. All of us have been afraid at one time or another. What happens when we're afraid? It makes our world get rather small. When we are worried and anxious about the future or worried and anxious about our death, what does that do to our life? We can find ourselves wrapped in a cage of our own fears. There's a man by the name of Michael Marsh who says this: "The degree to which we are afraid to die is the degree to which we are afraid to fully live. Every time we avoid and turn away from death, we proclaim it stronger than God, more real than life, and the ultimate victor." How much of our lives is wasted with fear? But you see, because the tomb is empty, because your Savior is alive, there is no reason to fear even death itself, because death has been defeated by Jesus. Jesus is the living one who says in Revelation chapter 1, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Because of Jesus, we do not need to fear death, because death has been defeated. So we can then live our lives with the expectation of the resurrection. My sister was telling me that in the mornings sometimes she has pieces of music that get stuck in her head. Do you ever have that where you wake up and you got this tune in your head? Maybe the Dupke family is just strange. But she has this piece stuck in her head, but I thought it was very fitting, the piece that has been stuck in her head recently. It's a piece from Bach's Mass in B minor called Et Resurrexit. Those of you that speak and know some Latin know that Et Resurrexit means "and the resurrection." It speaks from the creed. The creed that we confessed, or we look forward to the resurrection of the dead. So what does that mean? It means that as you go forward in this life, you need not fear your own death. You can stare death in the face, and it doesn't need to scare you, because you know that your resurrection is coming. I've told some of you this before, but how many of you have heard about the site tombstonebuilder.com? Tombstonebuilder.com. I've told some of you about this. Tombstonebuilder.com is a site where you can go and you can build your own tombstone. And I have done so, and I actually keep a copy of it in my sermon folder. It's a good reminder to me. So I have my tombstone there in my sermon folder. And on my tombstone, it has my name, Dallas C.R. Dupke, Dallas Carl Robert Dupke. There's my name. Then it has the date of my birth with a little dash, and then it has question marks for the date of my death. Then below that, these are the words that I put on my tombstone: Et expecto resurrexit. Et expecto resurrexit, which basically means, and I look forward to the resurrection. So even as you're thinking about planning your funeral, and that's not something we want to think about, right? But even in the midst of that, when you're planning your funeral or the funeral of your loved ones, we need not fear death, because death is not the end. As it says in the hymn, God's Own Child, I gladly say it, "There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort sure. Open-eyed my grave is staring, even there I'll sleep secure. Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of paradise." 1 Corinthians 15:55 says those words, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And even as we are there at the grave of the loved ones that we have now said goodbye to, we do not say goodbye forever, but we rather say until we meet again, because we look forward to that time when we will be reunited with those grandparents, with those loved ones, with those friends who have died in the Lord. For as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Your Lord Jesus Christ is risen. And because of that, you have new life. You have new hope. You have life in his name. And may you live in the joy and the peace and the confidence of the resurrection. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.